Welcome to No Longer Hopeless. I'm your host, Lane Mercer, co-founder of L&L Ministries. This podcast is a place where you can come to get encouragement and hope restored. We showcase that there's always hope to be found for the right here and right now in the Lord. Let's get started, shall we? Hey there. I'm glad you're joining No Longer Hopeless podcast. I hope things are going well for you. If things are not going well for you, I'm glad you joined No Longer Hopeless podcast. Did you get that? If things are going well or not well, I'm glad you're here. Why? Well, everyone has the chance and deserves the chance to be no longer hopeless. No matter where you are, I'm glad you're here. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, so in this season of the podcast, we've been doing different book reviews that I personally have in my library or part of my life that have impacted me. Given me hope during this journey of life. And there's different ones I wanted to share with you. And also we've been doing some interviews. I'll do some talking, but just a chance to do that, to be able to encourage you and bring hope to you. We've been looking at a series that I really love a lot. It's called God's Generals series by Robert Lee Arden. And there are 6 books in the series. I'm going to look at, I'll just tell you about book number 5 this time. And this one is called God's Generals, The Missionaries. And it's a really, really great book. All of them, the whole series. Listen, if these names sound familiar to you, then you definitely want to get this series so you can learn more about them. You're going to be able to find insights and information you probably didn't know or you had forgotten. You're going to see some rare photos. But if these names do not sound familiar to you at all, then all the more reason I encourage you to get this series. Learn some of these heroes of the faith, as the author calls them, the generals, God's generals. I'll put a link into this for this book at the end in the description, so I'd encourage you to go check it out. Let me just read to you this book. I'm going to tell you about just the back of it to give you an idea of what we're talking about. It says this: they serve God to the ends of the earth. In his 5th God's Generals volume, Robert Lee Arden chronicles some of the great missionaries who risked their lives to take the gospel message to strange and unknown cultures around the world, including Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf, the Australian nobleman whose passion for Christ ushered in the Moravian revival of the 1700s, David Brainerd, the young American colonist who sacrificially reached out to the Native Americans, William Carey, the British shoemaker and Bible translator whose passion to reach India birthed a missionary revolution, David Livingston, the explorer who crossed the unknown continent and opened the heart of Africa to the gospel, Adrian Judson, the father of American missions who endured tragedy to reach the people of Burma, Hudson Taylor, the first missionary to use the phrase Great Commission, who pioneered the China Inland Missions, transforming millions of lives along the way. Hiram Bingham, the first Protestant missionary who spent 20 years serving Christ in what is now Hawaii. Amy Carmichael, the selfless Irish missionary who dedicated her life to the forsaken children of India. Jonathan Goforth, the passionate Canadian revivalist who brought salvation and healing to hundreds of thousands of Chinese people. The sacrifice and courage these spiritual pioneers are sure to stoke the fires of your faith and revive within your heart a spirit of evangelism, compassion for the lost. It's a great book. It's an incredible book. This is the 5th in the series. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the author, and then I want to read a little small excerpt to you just so you can kind of get an idea about this book. So here we go. This is the author. Robert Lee Arden was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the first male child born at Oral Roberts University. For this distinction, he was named in honor of the university's founder. To date, he has sold over 7 million books worldwide. His works have been translated into more than 50 languages, and he is known internationally, having ministered in over 112 countries. An author of 54 books, Roberts continues to have a voice that speaks to this nation, to this generation of believers, reaching those who are eager to read a relevant message that draws the heart closer to God. Robert's career in ministry began in 1979, where he gave his first public address at the age of 13. By 17, he published his first book, I Saw Heaven, which sold over 1.5 million copies. God then inspired Roberts to write and produce a book and video series entitled God's Generals, chronicling the lives of some of Christianity's pioneering Pentecostal and charismatic leaders. The book includes God's generals, why they succeeded and why they failed, the roaring reformers, the revivalist, the healing evangelist, and this one, the missionaries. This successful series established Roberts as a leading Protestant church historian, a mantle he wears to this day. Twice, Roberts was voted Outstanding Young Man in America. He has been had the honor of hosting by presidents, kings, and other political and religious leaders, including former President Ronald Reagan, former Prime Minister Lady Margaret Thatcher, and Dr. Billy Graham. He was also honored by former President George W. Bush and his wife Laura for his commitment and contribution to his community. In 1990, at the age of 25, Roberts Liardon moved to Southern California, where he founded one of the largest Christian churches and Bible colleges in Orange County. Embassy Christian Center would become a base for his apostolic work, which included assistance to the poor and needy in Southern California and throughout the world. From this ministry, he established, financed, and sent forth nearly 400 men and women to serve in various nations across the globe. Over the years, these humanitarian missionaries' teams have been provided food, clothing, and spiritual teaching to those in need. Since 2000, Roberts has worked to fulfill a demanding speaking schedule, along with writing new books and mentoring a new generation of world leaders to effect change for the church and society. He continues to manage and expand his international headquarters in Sarasota, Florida, and has an extension office in London, England. Okay, that was a little bit lengthy. I agree. That was his bio that was on the book. I wanted you to get a better understanding of this author. But more importantly, I want you to get the book, all the books that I've mentioned. But this book is so good. It's about the missionaries. I'm going to read two excerpts this time. Usually I just read one, but they're just so good. It was hard for me to choose one over the other. So it's still going to be the same person, but I want to read about two different events. I'm going to read to you about this first missionary. His name is Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf. I'm really sorry if I messed the name up. That's the best I can do on it, but you'll get what I'm saying. So this is actually the first of the book, chapter one. It's called Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf, and it's subtitled of the chapter, A New Thought, The World is the Field of Harvest. All right, so I'm going to read this little section because it's so good, and then I'm going to jump over just a little bit. So this starts on page 15. Here we go. Listen to this. The top mast of the James bent nearly in two. Resistance against the lashing winds was in vain. The prow of the ship sank beneath the raging waves one moment and soared up to the stormy sky the next. It was February 14th, 1743. The James was returning from the West Indies with missionary leader Count Ludwig von Zinzendorf aboard. As the ship approached the coastline of southern England, the North Atlantic gale relentlessly pushed her towards the jagged rocks jutted from the shoreline. The passengers and crew of the British vessel huddled below the deck in fear for their lives. The wind shrieked as the ship pitched ominously, each hour driven closer to the English coast. Captain Nicholas Garrison resigned himself to the inevitable. Turning to the quiet passenger standing by his side, he said with foreboding words, "Within hours, Your Excellency, we will be at the bottom of the ocean. The ship will not survive a crash against the rocky shore." Raising his eyebrows in surprise at the stark prediction, Count Zinzendorf spoke confidently above the raging storm. "Captain, within 2 hours, this storm will be abated and we will be sailing in calm seas once again." Captain Garrison shook his head in disbelief as both men fought against the lashing winds to join the crew and passengers below deck. In 2 hours, the captain of the James climbed carefully up the wooden ladder to the deck of his vessel. In wonder, he saw that the winds had shifted, the stormy clouds had parted, and there were blue skies and placid seas surrounding the ship on all sides. Count Zinzendorf, the captain inquired in awe. How did you know that we would have these calm seas in exactly 2 hours? I have had a trusting relationship with Jesus Christ for nearly 40 years, the count responded. He speaks to me in the quiet of my soul when I pray before him. This time he assured me the storm would end in 2 hours. Amazed at Zinzendorf's extraordinary faith, Captain Garrison accepted Christ as Lord of his life and soon afterwards began a friendship with the count that lasted a lifetime. For years to come, Garrison served as the captain of the Moravian missionary ship that transported Zinzendorf's missionaries to foreign lands throughout the world. Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf was a European nobleman, well known to regal heads in 18th century Europe. Destined by birth to live a life of privilege and luxury to the courts of Germany, he chose instead to dedicate all of his expansive influence and wealth to the glory of his Savior, Jesus Christ. Rather than making his mark in native country alone, Zinzendorf changed lives for eternity in the furthest corners of the world through his missionary vision. Throughout Europe, the Middle East, Asia, the East and the West Indies, and South America, from the southern tip of Africa to the Arctic shores of Greenland, the name of Christ was extolled by the missionaries sent out under Zinzendorf's leadership. Eventually embarking on a foreign journey himself, Zinzendorf proclaimed, "The world is the field, and the field is the world, and henceforth that country shall be my home where I can most be used winning souls for Christ." Through nearly 40 years of Christian ministry, Zinzendorf was revered by some people for his deep love of Christ, reviled by others for his unorthodox ways of demonstrating that love. To Zinzendorf, the true church was an invisible body of believers hidden behind denominational barriers. Life in Christ was not what happened in the organized church. Instead, it was Christianity of the heart. Zinzendorf expressed that kind of Christianity in three vital ways. First, it was essential that all believers embrace a deep personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, all true believers must learn to live and worship together. There is no Christianity without community was his personal motto. Third, every Christian was called to help spread the message of Christ's sacrificial death and redemption to the unreached world. Missions, after all, Zinzendorf wrote, is simply this. Every heart with Christ is a missionary. Every heart without Christ is a mission field. Whether a believer was sent to a foreign land or worked to support the one sent, to Zinzendorf, the missionary enterprise was a cooperative effort through the power of the Holy Spirit that could change the world for Christ. Zinzendorf did change the world, revolutionizing the worldwide Christian community with his missionary zeal, taking his place in history as one of God's greatest missionary generals. And that's a powerful moment. This is just me talking, and not the author I want to read to you. But there's a little bit more I want to read to you because that was a powerful moment. And I want you to hear this, so bear with me just a little bit longer. This is the same Count Zinzendorf. This is on page 31 and 32, I believe. And so, listen to this. Here we go. So it says, during the summer of 1727, brotherly love was restored on the Besteldorf estate, and 12 elders were chosen as leaders in the community. The whole place, said Zinzendorf, represented a visible tabernacle of God among men. God was preparing Zinzendorf and the Moravian brethren for an anointed move of the Holy Spirit. On Sunday, August 10th, 1727, John Roth knelt before his congregation and prayed for the Lord's Spirit to move mightily among them. Together, they remained in prayer until well past midnight. 3 days later, the Christian settlers of Herne Hunt had walked the short mile to Berthelhof's church, where Roth had invited them for communion service to celebrate the reconciliation. From both communities, the people entered the church quietly, sensing the sweet presence of God. As they lifted their voice in praise, the Holy Spirit swept through the congregation with his purifying fire. Humbled believers dropped to their knees, weeping in repentance before the Lord, drowning out the singing with cries to be cleansed from their sins. Swept up in the Spirit's presence, the worshipers praised him with adoration. They prayed alone or in groups. They called on the Lord's grace and mercy until they finally sensed his release. As the singing and weeping subsided, Ludwig prayed that the bond of peace and brotherly love would abide among them forever. No one wanted to leave God's holy presence. Zinzendorf sent for food from his kitchens, and the brethren celebrated the first of hundreds of love feasts, breaking bread together. Zinzendorf wrote about that blessed summer in his journal. We saw the hand of God and his wonders, and we were all under the cloud of our fathers, baptized with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the life-giving Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the source of all of our comprehension of God. He uses the scriptures for this purpose. His main striving is to magnify Christ in our lives. He relentlessly pursues us to make us Christ-like. 2 weeks after the Holy Spirit fell on the gathering, 24 men and 24 women from Hellhurt pledged to unceasing prayer for 1 hour a day. This prayer time was called the hourly intercession, and it was held around the clock, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They interceded before God for their specific need of the people. Before long, they had 77 people committed to taking part in 24-hour prayer, and they received 2,000 prayer requests from Christians throughout Saxony. When the Moravians began their mission work, their prayer time focused on the missionary work. Imagine their astonishment of those prayer warriors had they known that the prayer meeting under the anointing of the Holy Spirit would continue among the Moravian brethren 24 hours a day, every day, 365 days a year, for the next 100 years. What a marvelous, wonderful thing this was, an unceasing commitment to prayer. Rejoice evermore, praying without ceasing, in everything give thanks, as 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says. This is the closest manifestation of the scripture I've ever heard of. I'm blessed when I think of the nations and people that were changed forever by 100 years of prayer for missions. Some sources believe that it may have gone on for about 120 years, but in our research, we have not discovered exactly when or why the supernatural prayer time stopped. There are ministries today that are picking up some degree of that mantle. We admire them and bless them for their commitment to unceasing prayer in our day. Wow, that's amazing. So I know this is running a little long, but I wanted to share those two with you. One, listen, he had such confidence in who his God was that he knew the storm was not going to take them down. That's pretty incredible. But then did you catch that? A prayer meeting. And the Holy Spirit fell, so the people were just, they didn't want to leave, and conviction came upon them, and their lives were changed. And did you get that last bit? The prayer meeting turned into a 100-year prayer meeting. Wow, that's amazing. Hey, I hope that you found this to be encouraging. I hope you were able to find hope in this part of the story. I encourage you, get this book, get the entire series. This will be a great addition to your library. I tell you, you cannot go wrong learning about this, and let it stir the faith in you. If you did find this encouraging, if you found hope in this, please pass this on. Tell others about this podcast. I can get the message of hope out to you, but I need you to get the message out to others. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in. Let's see what happens next week. That wraps up this episode of No Longer Hopeless. If you found this to be an encouragement to you, then please subscribe so not to miss out when another goes out. If you can think of anyone who might benefit from this podcast, then I ask that you please share it. We would love to hear from you. Connect with us on Facebook by searching for LNL Ministries, or you can email us at nolongerhopelesspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. And remember, as long as you have breath within you, then you can still have the chance to be no longer hopeless.